We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
Hello, everybody.
What up, what up, what up? You nailed it.
That was the best Tim impression I could get. Welcome, everyone, to a very special Oscars edition of Late Night Res. As you may have noticed, I am certainly not Tim Daniel. After he made a joke about me being bald last week, he's on a one-week suspension without pay. My man comes at me. I'm catching strays from two states away.
All right.
But no, Tim had some responsibilities. So I'm Nate Dotson, host of the Riverfront Red Show, and helping out tonight to try to fill Tim's massive shoes. But the guy that's going to be holding my hand through this whole process is the man with the best laugh in the business. It's Ben Brown. How are you, Ben?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. I'm glad that you were able to step in for Tim's one week suspension. So it's always fun when we get together. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What we thought was going to be a slow news week actually wind up popping off a little bit.
Yeah, the avalanche started a couple days ago and it hasn't really stopped. So
no,
we got plenty to talk about, and I am pumped to do that. Pumped to hang out with you, Ben, and I might get to realize my lifelong dream of spending an hour with Pat McGooch.
Oh, yes.
We'll see. We'll see. <Yeah. laughs> We could be so lucky. So, and before we go too far into this, I want to shout out to the sponsor of today's show, SeatGeek. Using the code word Riverfront, one word, you can get $20 off your first purchase. They are the best ticket buying app out there, the easiest to use. Red means bad deal, green means good deal. Sometimes you don't get the luxury of choosing the good deals. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you were late, you procrastinated. Head on over to SeatGeek using promo code Riverfront and get $20 off.
Dude, all right, you nail that, dude. You are on it.
I practice in front of the mirror every day. All right, so before we get into the nitty-gritty, Ben, let's just do a quick vibes check. I mean, optimism has reigned supreme as Reds fans, more so than any time I can remember recently. How are you feeling about the team as it stands on March? What is today, though? 10th.
10th. Man, I feel pretty good. I think that we're in a good spot. You know, we'll talk about the Marte suspension here soon, but usually when a guy that you're relying on that heavily gets suspended, it usually puts a damper on things. But, man, I tell you what, we've got, as you know, a lot of depth in the infield. So for that to happen and us be able to just keep the kind of the momentum going, it's pretty good. I think that all those guys are vibing really well. Mm-hmm. And I think they're on a mission. I mean, it feels like to me that those guys, they're not taking these games lightly. They're coming mm-hmm. in, they're preparing, you know, pitchers are pitching well, guys are taking good at bats. So I feel like our guys are, they see themselves as a playoff caliber team, and that's the way they're coming into this season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was a little bit nervous that sometimes, yeah, the team was so far ahead of schedule last year, winning 20 games more than anybody really expected, that maybe they thought they'd already done something.
Yep.
Maybe they thought that they could just show up and rely on this God-given ability that so many of these guys have. But no, almost the entire team showed up early to spring training. These guys are ready. They're locked in, and they seem like they really get along. They seem like they're having a good time. So I know that doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things, but you can't convince me that it hurts.
No, not at all. I think that the biggest thing that I've noticed the most is that like the gel and the makeup of this team is so special. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you get guys that are young and they get brought up to the majors, and they got all these expectations. Sometimes that becomes a heavy weight, and these guys have taken it on as a challenge. Like you said, you brought up a great point. Every one of those guys reported early. Every one of those mm-hmm. guys are working on something that they had not been successful at the previous year. You know, you hear about Ellie, switching right to left and working on his fielding with Barry Larkin. You see Will Benson talking about he wants to face all left-handers. Matt McClain's getting healthy. Jonathan India looks good. Tyler Stevenson, I read an article about him the other day talking about how he really worked on being a really good defensive catcher mm-hmm. and going and taking better at bats and things like that. So everything you've heard out of these guys, you don't hear any satisfied guys in that clubhouse. You hear guys that are hungry and wanting more. So that's really cool.
That's right. And I'm glad you brought up Tyler Stevenson, because I had a little note here where I wanted to talk about what it looks like some serious improvement behind the plate, mm-hmm. Particularly with his pitch framing, just from what we've been able to see, because for some unknown reason, this team is impossible to watch. They just can't watch usually baseball in 2024. It's wild.
Yeah.
But I think Tyler Stevenson listens to this show, because you expressed maybe a little concern about Tyler Stevenson's bat last week, and our boy has hit a homer in 3 straight games.
I tend to have a tendency for that to happen. Maybe when we get into a slump or a little small stretch, I'll just start mentioning Red's name so they come out of it. So
that's the new weekly segment, the Ben Brown Slump Watch. The slump buster.
Who can Ben get out of a slump this week? So
I love it.
But yeah, man, he came. He's had some really quality at bats this week. You said 3 home runs in a row, but he's actually looked just really comfortable at the plate. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I've noticed is that his pitch selection, even though it's spring, has been really good, man. He's been really selective and staying on baseballs really well. Not only that, but like you mentioned, a great point. Defensively, man, you can really see him work. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell he's trying to frame pitches. He's working counts. He's, you know, he's doing different things behind the plate to make himself a more viable option. Not saying that Luke Maley doesn't do a great job, but, man, when you're in a battle like that, you constantly want to try to beat the other guy, and you're trying to get better. Even though they're teammates, you know he wants
to – Oh, yeah, they're pushing.
Yeah, they want to – he wants to be behind the dish, that everyday catcher every day. Mm-hmm. So – it's really cool to see him do that work.
Yeah, he's starting to pull the ball. And I don't know if this is just small sample size syndrome or if that's something he's really working on. But it's something that a lot of fans have been clamoring for the last couple of years. Like, instead of just always trying to go the opposite way with it, tap into that power, that size. And also, shout out Tyce, just announced that he and his wife are expecting baby girl. So maybe this power surge is from that dad maybe strength.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody knows you come a dad, man. You gain a little 20, 25 pounds on the bench. You know what I mean? Get a little stronger.
That's so. It.
Yeah, it's really cool. I saw that right before we got on, man. So congrats to him. They said baby's due in the summer. So, you know, hopefully the Reds are making a run and he has a baby and all will be well.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll get to take some time off because that goes to show how important a guy like Luke Maley is as your number two catcher. I'm leading the charge as the best backup catcher in baseball.
I tell you what, I think we mentioned this maybe a couple weeks ago. It's really hard to find two good catchers. Mm-hmm. Like, usually you have one that's really good and you have the other guy that's the other guy. But Luke Maley has made himself so valuable in being able to come in on that every third day or every fourth day. And he hits the ball well and he's good defensively. And you don't really lose a whole lot with him being back there. So I would tend to agree with you, dude. He's got to be up there as one of the best backup catchers in the league.
100%. I mean, if we have to lose Tyler Stevenson for a handful of games around the birth of his kid, you're still going to look at that lineup with Luke Maley's name penciled in there and think this is still scary. Yep. 1-9.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you still got a lot of a pop with him, a lot of a good at bats, and of course the best thing is he's very good defensively. Yeah. So you don't lose much.
Has anybody else sort of stood out to you in spring
training? I've loved Will Benson. I've loved Ellie. Ellie has looked really good.
Ellie had
Jonathan
a fun
idiot. Yeah, he had a fun day.
Today. Well, should have been a single, turns it into a double.
Turns to a double. Home. I mean, still starting. Yeah. I mean, he's just incredible. Jonathan India looked good today. I mean, he had some pop in his bat.
Welcome back.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of different guys that have popped up and popped in and have done a really great job. I just think that the lineup is so competitive, man. Those guys are fighting, and it's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. They're fighting to beat each other to be the best person in that lineup. So, I mean, this is still without having Matt McClain. So, I mean, you got guys out there that are fighting for quality at bats and getting spots and it's going to be tough in this lineup, man. We've got a lot of good bats.
Well, there's so many dudes that these guys can take their time and get right and not have to rush back because they know that their spot's held by somebody that is, by all intents and purposes, an above average major league hitter.
Yep.
And this is crazy, something that we have just not had as Reds fans in so long. I do want to shout out my guy Nick Martinez. I think a lot of Reds fans were a little bit miffed and a little bit confused when the Reds signed him this offseason. And, you know, he would like to start, but they're not sure whether or not he's going to get that opportunity to. Well, he's putting himself in position to get any open starts there are. He threw four perfect innings against the Dodgers in that rain-delayed game. He has been looking good all spring so far, and just another example of the depth that is going to be so important to this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, with the Lodolo setback, I mean, I think he's a guy that's putting himself in position to be there as one of those, as that, you know, fourth, fifth starter. I mean, he's been lights out kind of in the spring, and he's had a really excellent spring.
Mm-hmm. We're super pumped to see Lodolo come back today. So he'll miss the beginning of the season, but
right.
He can take his time. Another one of those guys. So,
all
right, Ben, let's get into a couple things that I really wish we didn't have to talk about.
Right.
We'll start off with Noelvi Marte. Mm-hmm. This one hurt me the most, I think. Noelvi Marte, if you don't know, was suspended for 80 games for taking a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. Based on what I read, it seems like it was in all likelihood the kind of thing where he was trying to heal back as quickly as he could from that hamstring injury that he got playing in the Dominican Summer League. There's no way to shake it. This is a huge, huge blow. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that other teams would be more significantly affected by this than the Reds are because of this depth we keep harping on. But I'd already splashed a few bucks on this guy to win Rookie of the Year. I'm not getting that money back, and he has a big second half.
Yeah.
And to me, the biggest thing in all this is that it also makes him ineligible for the postseason.
Which I did not know that. I knew the 80 game, But that's the huge one to me is the postseason, mm-hmm. you know, ineligibility. I mean, that is huge. I mean, because down the stretch, I mean, if he gets hot down the stretch and he's playing great and we make a playoff push and now he's got to sit, like that's critical. That's critical.
It's tough to see. You know, I never try to pass too much judgment on these guys. Mm-hmm. He's, what, 22 years old?
Yeah.
And living in a country that is not his home country. Relatively new to the Reds organization. So people make mistakes all the time. If I got punished for every dumb decision I made when I was 22.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
It would have been bad news. So I hope he uses this as an opportunity to learn, figure out what he did wrong, why it was wrong, never do anything like it again, and he comes back a better version of himself. We have seen it so many times, people that make these mistakes. Look no further than Fernando Tatis Jr. in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You can still come back and be that dude, but you're going to find that inspiration within yourself, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yep.
He's got a guy on his own club. Frankie Montas was busted for PEDs a few years ago. So he's got people to talk to. And I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'm rooting for the kid to come back, get it right, and be that player that that we need him to be.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, you bring up a really good point. And I have a lot of young men that I've coached that I meet with from time to time, and they're 22, 23, and they tell me about some of the things they do, and I'm like, yep, I can remember doing that silly, crazy stuff and making mistakes and mm-hmm. and not knowing, you know. But the big thing with him is that, you know, I think that he is around enough good people in that locker room that'll surround him, that'll give him, you know, great advice and give him some direction. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy was just trying to get back. And right, wrong, or different. He was just trying to get back to his ball club. You know, he took an illegal substance. Those things happen. Hopefully, you know, like you said, I think you brought up a good point. A lot of times you learn from those things. You get better from those things. And it's an opportunity for him to really kind of just right the ship and get back to where he needs to be.
Yeah. And we had a comment here from Robert Loper. Shout out to Robert. He says, keep him in AAA all season then. This is interesting to me because my initial reaction was no. When he gets back, if he makes the team better, mm-hmm. put him on the big league roster. Get those wins, because those wins, they all matter the same. But with this news, and then with Jose Barrero getting claimed off waivers by the Texas Rangers, mm-hmm. there's another young guy who I think the Reds were happy to wait until 2025 on that has been really impressive in spring training, and a guy named Edwin Arroyo. Mm-hmm. Could you see a path? This just came to me. It might be nonsense, but could you see a path where, with Barrero now gone, mm-hmm. with Marte out for 80 games, some of that depth being a little bit lighter now, that mm-hmm. there could be a path for Edwin Arroyo to make his debut in Cincinnati later this year? I mean, if he comes up the first half of the season, he dominates Double A and Triple A.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, man. And we talk about this all the time. The Reds organization's job is to win baseball games. Like that's their job, is to win games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you lose Barrera, you lose Marte. You just don't know what's going to happen in a season. I mean, guys get injured all the time.
All the time.
You know what I mean? That's why you carry so many guys in your triple A's and your double A's and things like that. I don't think anything is out of the question when you're trying to win baseball games. So if it's a place where, you know, you have a guy go down, one of your infielders goes down, you know, Matt McClain, you know, Lord forbid, hopefully the obliques are okay and everything's good, but you don't know. He could strain one on a swing. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. But to have that guy there who has shown you that he can take good big league at bats in spring training and be effective. I mean, you can't say that it isn't a possibility. You really can't. And I mean, think about this last year. I mean, we knew Matt McClain and Will Benson and Steer, and we knew all these guys were good. We didn't know that we'd have to rely on them last year. You know, Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, we didn't know those guys were going to be coming up. Now, we had a good idea that those guys were good enough to play on the big league level.
Right.
But We didn't know that.
They were ahead of schedule.
Yeah, they were definitely ahead of schedule. So I can't say that, you know, him, you know, Arroyo not coming up. I mean, it's definitely got to be a possibility. Well,
the way he's played so far in the spring, it certainly makes that question a lot more interesting than it was a month ago. Yep. When we thought he was just still super raw and going to take a lot of work. So I don't know, something to keep your eyes on. It could be fun. Slightly glossed over, Jose Barrero. Oh, man, the ultimate, like, what if for the Reds. Yep. He had all the potential in the world. Just, I was looking for the Soul Globe clip. Tim must have taken it off here. I wanted to give it to him one last time. I'm sure we can get Tim to bring it back when he's here next week. But yeah. I thought for sure that Jose Barrero was going to work out. The lesson, as always, is I'm an idiot. The guy just looks like a ball player. Like, yeah, it's does. Like watching Moneyball. I was rewatching Moneyball the other day, and, like, you know, I know we're not selling jeans, but some people just look like they deserve to be, or they belong on a ball field. Yep. He was one of those guys to me, and maybe it's just a change of scenery thing. I wish him all the luck. I'm sorry it didn't work out. I thought it was surprising, the timing of it all.
Yeah, I did too, but. I think you bring up a good point. Sometimes a change of scenery is good. And I think that for all intents and purposes, the Reds gave him a lot of opportunities. And it never quite got to where we thought it would. So, you know, definitely the timing of it all was weird. But, you know, all the best to him. You know, he's a guy that, like, we wish that he would have got to that point and just never did.
Yeah, I hope he realizes that potential in Texas. Thank you for everything you did. Again, curious timing with Marte being gone and there's being so much time left in spring training for these position battles to work themselves out. Like, a couple guys could get injured tomorrow and maybe you wish you had him, but they have people that are paid more and know a heck of a lot more than I do making those decisions. Yeah. So we'll miss you. One other thing that we have to talk about. I said that Noelvi Marte was the thing that made me the saddest. That's not true. I saw too many pictures of our beloved Joseph Daniel Votto wearing Toronto blue, returning to his hometown Blue Jays on a minor league deal, which to me is shameful. Now, he said that he was very, very comfortable with that. That was something that he took to these teams. He's like, hey, I want to work my way. I want to earn the spot. Yeah. It just blows my mind that a team wouldn't say, hey, no, we've got a spot for you. You're Joey stinking Votto. But what's your initial reaction to the Votto news? I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, it hurts my soul. Other than Joe Morgan, Joey Votto probably by far my favorite Red. So to see him – now I'll say this. It saddens me to see him in a Toronto Blue Jays jersey, but I'm happy somebody took a flyer. Sure. I do think that he deserves that. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's a guy that if he is healthy, I still think that he could be productive.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked with you on the minor league deal thing. Just because of the simple fact that a former MVP, I would think, would earn the right for a roster spot. But, you know, and I don't think Toronto's setting the world on fire. I mean, like, you know what I mean? So, like, why not go ahead and give Joey Votto a roster spot? But, you know, if he's willing to do that, which, you know, he's already went on, like, Dan Patrick's show and all these other podcasts saying he just wants an opportunity. So, here he is. He has an opportunity, and he's going to get a chance to play in front of his hometown, hometown family and friends, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we know when we've seen some things from Joey recently coming back from his injuries. He doesn't want to take up a major league roster spot until he is 100% ready to go. Yeah. So with this late start to spring training, maybe he was like, hey, just I don't need the money. I got money in the bank account.
Yep.
Send me down to AAA. Let me work my way into game shape with full expectations of, you know, a month into the season. He's up there full time, hopefully healthy, hopefully banging.
Yeah, let's hope.
And one of the things that made me the saddest, though, was when he came out and said he thought that he was going to sign the same kind of deal with the Reds.
Yeah.
He said, I thought that I could sign a minor league deal with the Reds and try to fight for that spot because he wanted to finish his career in Cincinnati. He was very, very kind. He was like, the Reds are stacked. They don't need a guy like me. So I get it. I get why they didn't. But as a selfish fan, that stung a little bit. So,
oh, yeah.
Reds play in Toronto in August, I think. Every TV in Cincinnati needs to be tuned into that game.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, so long, Joey. My pipe dream of him coming back is no more.
Man, I was holding on. I was holding on to the faith, and I was like, man, please, just do something. Give him something, man.
Well, now we can start banging the drum to get them to trade for him at the deadline.
Right? Absolutely.
So some other big news. This came in just shortly before we started recording. The Reds have named Frankie Montas their opening day starter. This is a surprise to me. I know we've got a friend of the show and host of Locked On Reds, Stephen Offenbaker, in the chat. He's always had some interesting opinions about who should get that opening day start or not. It's an honor. Yeah. And I think we all sort of expected it to be Hunter Green. At least I did. Our opening day starter last year. And no, they came out with Frankie Montas. David Bell had a lot of really encouraging comments talking about how he showed up earlier than anybody else. He's been fantastic at working with all the pitchers. We know that when he is good, he is really, really good. Mm-hmm. He's also the oldest guy on the staff. Yeah, 30 years old. He's the elder statesman for this ball club, which makes me feel old as heck. But what'd you think when that news dropped?
Honestly, I mean, a veteran coming in for the Reds, a guy that's pitched in all different situations, and he's got a lot of good big league experience. Like you said, when he was good, man, he is good. Mm-hmm. I think it hurt Hunter Green a little bit. Because he's had some inconsistencies here in the last couple starts in spring training. Now, we've talked about this on the show. He's working on new pitches.
Right.
He's trying to get himself adjusted to doing some different things. I get it. You know, I had thought that Hunter Green had not really earned the right, but I thought that he was going to be the guy, like the ace of the staff, you know, and set the tone in opening day. But like you said before, you made a great comment. Those guys get paid lots of money to be able to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. So there must be something that they're seeing that we're not seeing as fans. I do think that him being a veteran helps. I do think that he, his leadership in the clubhouse helps. And I think that they must feel maybe, and I'm just speculating, that having him there, who a guy that's been there and done that, starting your season off, may be the way to go. You know, you don't know, you know, Hunter Green, I think if we had to put money on it, I think a lot of us would have said Hunter Green's the guy. But, you know, Montas must have came in and, you know, we don't see the other work that he's doing and the other stuff on the other side that he's doing. So David Bell must have seen something to him and the coaching staff said, hey, like, he's our guy. So, you know, as good Reds fans, we're going to get behind Frankie Montas on opening day and the rest of the starts, and we'll go from there. Now, my I guess question would be, or not really question or concern, but like, what does this do for Hunter Green? Does this hurt his confidence? Does this deter him from doing different stuff? Like, my question to you is, what if you're Hunter Green? What do you see this as?
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen a player more mature than Hunter Green at his age. So I have zero doubt in my mind that he is, if anything, will just use it as fuel.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a major slight. He's still pitching. No. He's still pitching day two. You know, he pitched opening day last year, but we had Connor Overton, Luis Sessa, and Luke Weaver making early season starts. The options weren't there.
It was thin.
So this might be as simple as just giving the veteran the nod. It could be that Frankie Montas he's been in Arizona working for longer, which is not a slight on Hunter at all. Frankie Montas has something to prove this year. He's on a 1-year deal with options. So like,
absolutely,
the more he goes out and, you know, he said he wanted to win 20 starts or win 20 games. So maybe like, all right, we'll start you in the first one, get that momentum going.
Yep.
So
a little wire to wire.
I don't think it does anything for Hunter. I think it just gives him, a little bit of extra motivation perhaps to go and be that guy. Maybe it takes a little pressure off of him because we're not asking him to carry the rotation. We're asking him to be a key part, but not, you know, the key cog in the wheel.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because sometimes that pressure is good. Which, like you said, Hunter is a very mature, I think he's what, 24 years old. He's a very mature 24, 23 years old. But like you said, being a part of a plan and not having to be the plan could definitely be big for him. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a good, you know, I think that, like you said, those guys get paid a lot of money to make those decisions. And I think that Montas being a veteran and coming in and doing the work that he's done, you know, I think it'll go well.
Yeah. So congrats to Frankie Montas. And also, after spending most of his career in Oakland there and then having a very brief stint in New York before the injury bug got him, getting to experience opening day in Cincinnati is going to be a lot of fun for Mr. Montas.
Yes, it is.
Because that's
there's
spectrum.
Nothing like it. Yep. There's nothing like it.
So hopefully he likes it enough that he wants to stick around for a couple of years after this one.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of other people that are going to be important to this rotation, we have some injury news or injury updates that we need to get into. And I want to start off with our boy Nick Lodolo. Another really important piece to this rotation. Last week's episode, we were on my Thursday show, and then you're in Tim's show last Sunday. Like, we were pretty worried about that Nick Lodolo news.
Heck, I thought there
might have been a setback, and man, that's scary, especially with this tibia injury. I've heard that they can tend to linger sometimes. Well, our worry was for naught.
Yes.
our reports came back clean, and he made his spring debut today, and he pitched two really solid, really efficient shutout innings.
Yes, he did.
And by all accounts, again, didn't get to watch it because
they don't like us.
They don't like us.
They don't like us. They don't want to see us win. You know what I mean?
Come on. The Fires are finally exciting, and we can't even watch it. This is the punishment. This is classic Reds fan punishment.
You ain't lying.
Yeah, so he came back and looked great. Man, could not be happier to have that guy. Such an important piece to this equation, the success of the team. If we get 25, 30 starts out of him, that's I think that bodes really well for the postseason chances on this team.
No doubt about it. And I know that we've mentioned this several times. Like, if he's healthy and in this rotation, man, I mean, it just does wonders for us as far as, like you said, we have Montas, we got Green, we go those three at the top of our rotation. I mean, geez, old Pete, dude, we're giving people fits. I mean, and Andrew Abbott ain't no slouch. I mean, Abbott's come in and pitched well, too. So, I mean, you have four quality guys at the top.
And I'm such a huge Ashcraft fan, too. Like, this rotation is stacked.
It's stacked. It's stacked. So, if Lodolo is healthy, and I think I said this last week, like, if he is healthy, it will make us that more potent going through the big games in the big series when it comes down to it. So if you go Hunter, Lodolo, Ashcraft, or you're at the top of it, and it goes, you know, Montas, Green, Lodolo, that third starter is going to get a lot of your starts in there.
Well, I mean, that's it, right? That's a very good point. I think about maybe a mid to late season series against the Cardinals if they are miraculously as good as everybody seems to think they are, except for people with a normal working brain.
Right.
They, you know, game one matchup, you have Montas and Sonny Gray. You know, Sonny Gray probably edges him out there just on the
– right.
Yeah, if you have to choose one. And then you've got Hunter Green going against Mike Mikolas, number two. Yep. And then that number three, you got a healthy Nick Lodolo going against somebody like Kyle Gibson who hasn't had an ERA below five. And
right.
Like, that's when that depth becomes so important where you just start getting the advantage. Two out of three games of every series.
Yep.
And then those wins stack up, and that's how you make the playoffs. People forget Nick Lodolo's rookie year, 19 starts that season before his injuries, 2.7 wins above replacement, a 3.66 ERA, good for a 1.19 ERA plus with almost 11.5 Ks per nine. The guy was a stud.
Yeah, he was electric
before these injuries. Electric. So welcome back, Nick. Stay healthy. Keep it up. We're glad to have you back.
Man, absolutely, yeah.
We also had the spring debut from Mr. Matt McClain. which everybody's pumped about. We are all super high on this young fella. Went 0 for 2, but turned a nice little double play. Got the double play started in the fifth inning. Don't care what the stats say. Just glad to see him back on the field.
Man, absolutely. And all, for all intents and purposes, he has been picked by a lot of people to be the leader as far as at-bats and average and, you know, production of this lineup. So to see him come back and hopefully stay healthy, he is the cog in that wheel in our lineup. And hopefully, you know, seeing him back there, you know, like you said, the 0-for-2 doesn't really matter. But seeing him back on the field, you know, participating and being there, that's the main thing. I mean, he's such a big part of what we want to be and where we want to go that, you know, having him back is going to just enhance our lineup even more.
And he's also apparently best friends with Ellie. I knew that they were buddies, but apparently they're like best friends now. So I'm just saying, get the camera crew, follow them around all season long.
Oh my gosh.
I want to see the buddy cop film between Ellie and Matt McGrain.
Oh my gosh, it is. It's like twins. One's 6'6", one's 5'10". It's
like I love it. We got to make this happen. Internet, get on it.
Yes.
We do also want to shout out Jonathan India, who technically made his spring training debut today because that rainout happened in his first game and those stats don't count. So he got his first recorded at bats, actually his second game played, I guess. And my boy just showed up and just hit a leadoff tater. Yes, just went yard. He said, "Welcome me back, Cincinnati. I'm here. I'm arrived. I'm here. Just forgot." He's played a little first base and a little left field.
Yeah.
So we got our first – well, I didn't say we get our first look at that because we didn't. But we did get some clips of a heck of a defensive play he made at first base the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Jonathan Indy is just – I think we take him for granted a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we've got all these new shiny toys.
Yep. No, I would agree with that. I think that his versatility in the long run is going to be extremely helpful. He's a guy now that we've seen him play first, he's played left. You know he can play the middle infield. So his versatility is key. And also too, I mean, gosh, the guy can swing the bat still. I mean, that guy gives great at bats. He's got pop at the top of the lineup. He can hit for average. He can steal bases. I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, this guy can kind of do it all. I mean, so it's been good to see him healthy and back in that lineup as well.
Yeah, let's see what he does with having zero pressure on him. Last year, it seemed like he welcomed all the pressure in the world. He took this young team on his shoulders and, you know, declared himself the leader and all that. And you can feel about that however you want to, but the team seemed to rally behind it. That's the only thing that matters to me. They seem to buy into it. So this year, he can still be that vocal guy. He can go out there and lead by example because we know he plays hurt all the time. The guy will run through a brick wall and keep playing. But this year, he doesn't have to be the dude at all. Mm-hmm. They could slot him in 7th, 8th, 9th in the lineup if they want to. And he's also proven that even when he plays injured, he's a league average hitter. And when he's healthy, he's better than that.
Yep. You bring up a great point. And on top of that, like, he's a guy like when all the contract stuff was talked about and do we bring him back, do we not, you never heard one negative thing from his teammates. Like, you never heard that, oh, he's a bad guy. Or you never heard that he's not. They're like, man, he's a leader. He's a competitor. He's a winner. He's a guy we want around us. I mean, so the guys in the locker room were behind him. They were hoping to bring him back, and he does what he does. I mean, he's that guy that leads that team.
Yeah, and we're going to need all these guys now with that. You know, they're still a super deep team, but when you lose Marte for 80 games and Barrera's gone now, you're watching him fight for that last spot, hoping he can pull something out. Yeah, you know, it makes you feel really, really lucky to have these other professionals, these major leaguers taking those at bats instead of some of the, you know, let's call it what it is, just slop that they ran out the last couple of years.
Yep.
All right, man. I think that pretty much covers it from a current events, getting up to date standpoint. Let's get into the topic of the week. We decided to throw out our 2024 Oscars predictions today because we are recording as the Oscars are going on. those of you that are tuning in here and not watching those, you made the wrong decision. Those guys are professionals, and we're just a couple dudes talking about the Reds. So I don't know what you're thinking, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, we thank you. We thank you for coming on. We love it. I've never really actually sat down and watched the Oscars. Is that something you've done? Have you sat and watched the Oscars before?
When I was a kid, I loved it. Like, I would look forward to the award shows, and I haven't done it in years now. And I pay attention to the races and stuff. I get into that. My brother Chad is like a huge cinephile. He loves that stuff. Really? Oh yeah. For me, that once, because it used to just be the only time you got to see your favorite actors in a room together. But now with social media, you see them all the time.
Right.
I think it's lost some of its luster.
Love some of its luster.
But we are still going to let them provide the motivation for this week's episode. And what we're trying to do here is just come up with some predictions that we can look back at the end of the season and see how we did. Just having a little fun and give some official who we think is going to impact this team the most throughout the season. So you ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we'll start off the top here and go with best starting pitcher. So why don't you bat leadoff for us? Who do you think is going to be the best starting pitcher for the Reds this season?
Honestly, I would have said Nick Lodola if I thought he was going to be healthy the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I tend to lean Andrew Abbott.
Ooh, I like it. Go on that.
So for me, it's about consistency and staying healthy. I mean, that guy, for the most part, stayed healthy all last year, made some really big starts for us down the stretch. Kept us in a lot of the games and towards the end in that NL Central race and the wild card race, some of his starts were just quality key starts going down the stretch. So I think this year, actually, this is crazy, but he could possibly be the fourth starter.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
There's really no pressure. He can go out there and do his thing. And, you know, a lot of teams are running their fourth starter out. They're not going to match up well with Andrew Abbott. I mean, Andrew Abbott, to me, could be a two or a three on a lot of different rotations. So I would have to say Andrew Abbott for me.
Yeah, you know what? If Andrew Abbott ends up being the best starting pitcher on this team, then let's just buy the World Series tickets now.
Right.
that means we're good. This team is good. Also, please sound off in the chat and let us know who y'all think. We can always try to go back and see who the chat picked and review that at the end of the year. I think Andrew Abbott is a super fun pick. I would love to see it. He went to the University of Virginia, where I also went. So go Hoos. But I gotta pick my man, Hunter Green. Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Montas. I'd be a little surprised if it's Lodolo, just because I think they're going to take it super easy with him. Mm-hmm. And even though I might be the president of the Graham Ashcraft fan club, I'm going to be realistic here and say that Hunter Green takes that leap that we've been hoping. You know, he added those two pitches. Early results, you know, the curveball's been mixed, but that splitter seems to be really exciting and really effective. So I think that this is the year he takes that leap we've been hoping for. And, you know, he's going to limit the long ball, go deeper into games, and solidifies himself as the ace on the field that he's already shown that he is off the field.
Yeah.
Like, he is already a just top-notch caliber individual with all the work he does in the community. Mm-hmm. The guy's just not even just the Cincinnati community, the entire nation. He's out there making a difference. So I got Hunter Green taking that leap.
No, I like that. And if Hunter Green is our top pitcher, I feel the same way as if it was Andrew Abbott. I mean, go ahead and buy World Series tickets, because I mean, his stuff is already electric. If he gets consistent with the curveball, that splitter is already nasty. He's going to be really tough to hit.
Yeah, love to see it. All right, we'll stay with the pitchers for round two. Best relief pitcher. I'll bat lead off this time since I made you do it last. I want to go with Nick Martinez, who we talked about a little bit earlier. And now this could be cheating a little bit because I can see him getting 10-plus starts for this
team. Yeah, see, that's kind of why I stayed away from him a little bit, because I was like, I think he's probably might be our fifth starter, possibly getting some starts there.
So he's probably looked better than anybody so far in spring training, but grain of salt with those stats. I just think that the fact that he can start those games or be that swing man reliever is the fact that's why he's so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, last year he had 1.5 wins above replacement in just 63 games, 3.43 ERA and a 1.19 ERA plus. Like, those are really, really good numbers.
Yeah.
He's looked awesome so far, and having him take those intermittent, like, injury necessitated starts that last year we gave to Luke Weaver, Connor Overton, and Luis Cesar. I feel bad for keep just firing bullets off of these guys. Just... They stunk.
It's done.
We call spade a spade. Yeah, I think that just having him on this roster is going to make David Bell's life so much easier.
Yeah.
And happier.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If Nick Martinez, if he can stay as consistent as he has in these spring training games, dude, if he can give you two innings of shutout when say your starter doesn't go as long as you need to, or he can give you two or three innings on a, on a back to back or something like that. Like, yeah, he's a guy that can do that and be consistent. Yeah. I think he could be a absolute stud in that route as a reliever.
All right. Who you got for your best relief pitcher 2024?
Now, mine went off of last year because I really like the move, and I felt like bringing this guy in really helped our bullpen. I like Sam Moll.
Ooh, I like this.
I just feel like he's a veteran guy. He's a lefty. He came in some really tight, bad situations and pitched us out of some key stuff going down the stretch in that season. So I always like veteran guys in those spots. He's a crafty dude, he gives other lineups fits. So I really like Sam Moll.
I think that's a great pick. He ended up being 12th on the team and wins above replacement last year, which is insane considering they got him at the trade deadline. And he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah,
it's so hard to rack up those stats as a reliever. I like to talk about ERA plus a lot. For those who don't know, it is a stat that, like, if you are 100, that's average. Anything above that is better. And it's like a percentage point over your peers. If you're 101, then you're 1% better. If you're 2, get 102, and so on. His ERA plus with the Reds last year, do you know what it was?
I don't.
Well, let's have some fun real quick. Let's go ahead and guess. I just said Nick Martinez was really had a really good year last year at 1.19 ERA plus. What was Sam Moll's?
I was going to say, if I had to guess, I'd say 1.131.
That would be a pretty reasonable guess, right?
Yeah.
It was 633.
Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
633. The guy was amazing for the Reds. He was just unbelievable. And obviously, nobody's going to sustain that throughout the course of the season. Right, but it just shows why that was a great pick, because he was so good for the Reds last year. I love it. All right, let's move on. Best defender. Who do you think is going to be the best defensive player for this Red squad?
I'm an outfield guy. I love outfielders. I love outfield play. And I love the way this guy plays. I say TJ Friedl.
Love it.
You know, just because I think that when you play center field, you have to kind of be a navigator, right? You've got to be able to see balls. You got to be able to get to the gap. And I think he's that guy. I mean, you could see last year the way he was able to navigate, you know, center field and do those different things. I really like TJ Friedl in center.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think his speed takes the pressure off those corner outfielders. I think he should have got some gold glove consideration last year. Should have been an all-star last year, but that's neither here nor there. I think that's an awesome pick. I'm going to go to the infield, and I'm going to go with Jonathan India. Just kidding. I love John India, but defense was not his calling card for the Reds. I'm going to go with our boy Ellie. It was a little bit rocky at times last year, but he is graded out as a plus-plus shortstop ever since he burst onto the scene. Every year in the minors, that's been one of his things, is that he's a great defender. You know, and now he's got a full offseason under his belt as an MLB starter. He's getting that time with Barry Larkin in spring training. And he's got a Gold Glove caliber middle infield partner in Matt McClain. So that takes a little bit of heat off when you're turning double plays when you've got that other rock solid guy over there beside you. And we know he's got that rocket ship of an arm, man. So I think Ellie's going to get some Gold Glove consideration this year and maybe even win his first of many.
Yeah, dude, it's when you have a shortstop that's 6'4" and that fast and rangy, dude, like it pretty much takes the whole left side of that. Like your third baseman really don't have to do much of anything. I mean, everything is covered. He's so long and he can play things in the hole and you'd be like, oh, man, that should be a hit. I mean, he throws the ball 102 miles per hour across the diamond. Yeah. I mean, like he just takes things away. So that's a great pick.
That's Ellie a great is. Pick. I'm so excited for this Ellie season. He's looked great so far. I might as well just stick with it then. Best offensive player, spoiler alert, I'm going with my guy Ellie. Yeah, got to stay with the phenom. You know, there's going to be some down times for Ellie. There is for every young ball player, but with his such wide range of outcomes with the raw skill set he has, we're going to see some rough patches, but we're already seeing, like you talked about, that improved approach at the plate, that increased discipline that just was non-existent last year.
Yeah.
And if that carries over to the season, I think we're talking about a 30 home run season from the fastest man on the planet.
Yeah. No, you're spot on that. Cause not only that, like we saw today taking singles and making them doubles, then you're still in third. I mean, he's just electric.
He does stuff that nobody else can do in a baseball field. You know, we're spoiled in this day and age cause we have Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
And I'm not trying to say that Ellie's going to be as good as Shohei Ohtani. In my opinion, Shohei is the best player to ever play the game. He's just elite at two things. But Ellie can make us sort of recalibrate how we look at ball players if he reaches anywhere close to his potential. And we are lucky to have that guy wearing a Reds uniform for the next several
absolutely.
Years.
No, absolutely. No doubt about it. He's once in a generational type talent. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Guy that is that big, that strong, can run that fast, can hit balls that hard. I mean, he can do it all. So, no, that's a great pick. That's a great pick.
All right. Who are you thinking?
I got to go with the guy that, if he'd have stayed healthy last year, probably would have contended for a lot of those batting stuff, which is Matt McClain. Dude, there's just something about that guy. Like, there's just something about the way that he attacks at bats, the way that he protects the zone, the way he can hit the off fields, the way he's got pop. I mean, I just think that when healthy, and on top of that, dude, he's got protection from top to bottom in that lineup. There's really nowhere you can go to get away from the guys in our lineup if they're all swinging the bat well. So to have that protection in front of him and behind him, he's going to see a lot of good pitches. And I think that he is a kid that can take advantage of your mistakes a lot. So I have to go with Matt McClain.
Yeah, that's a strong pick. And it would not surprise me at all if he ends up being the best offensive player this season.
Yeah.
All right, well, the next category is a little less exciting than it was when we made these show notes. Newcomer of the year. It looks like we both had the same choice. Somebody yes, that did. Y'all may have heard of. His name was Noel V. Marte. So you got to call an audible on the fly here. Yeah. And I guess, do we want to look at this as just new to the team or rookie?
Yeah, let's do new to the team. We'll do new to the team.
Then, because we've already given so many flowers to Frankie Montas, I'm going to give some to a name we haven't mentioned yet, and that's Jamer Candelario. My guy is versatile, and more than anything for me, he's consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, he is just a – I don't want to say middle of the order as in like your number three or four hitter, but if he's in that five or six spot, giving you quality professional at-bats from both sides of the plate, definitely going to be getting a lot of reps at third base.
Yep.
Stinking Marte. Gosh, I'm ruining my Christmas already.
You ain't lying.
I think people were confused when the Reds signed him. They're like, we've already got all these infielders. What are we doing getting a guy like this? Well, he is going to prove to be so important to this roster flexibility and just having that veteran presence on the field day in and day out. So I'm going to go with Jamer.
Yeah. I would have went with him too, but I'm going to go with the hometown kid, Brent Suter.
Let's go.
I just think that, dude, I think quality left-hand relievers are such a commodity, and we'll have two. So I think what he's able to bring to the table with having that second guy that's a left-handed reliever, I think it'll pay dividends, especially when you start to get to the postseason and you start seeing different teams, different at-bats, different guys coming to the plate. You got to have a guy to be able to counter that, and I think that Suter has enough big league experience to be able to have effective pitching against those guys.
Yeah, I love it. He also seems like a hilarious goofball. Yes. I don't know if y'all saw the pictures of the videos of him doing his Jim Carrey impersonation, which wasn't very good, but the fact that he was even willing to do it, I mean, it's better than I could do. Don't get me wrong. I shouldn't throw shade, but it seems like just a great guy to have a club. I seem so excited just to be a Cincinnati Red.
Yeah.
And you love to see that.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I think we talked about losing veterans. I mean, but I think we've brought some pretty good veterans in. Yeah. So, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, the floor of this team is so, so much higher than it was last season. It is insane to me.
Insane.
So pumped. All right. We got one last category, Ben, and that is best supporting player. I sort of describe this as somebody a little less heralded. Mm-hmm. But still immensely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So who is your choice for the best supporting player?
I went Will Benson.
Oh, my guy. My guy.
I think this kid, the light's going to come on. Like, he had a decent year last year. But, man, I think he's come into this spring. And everything that I've seen and watched his at-bats, when we get to watch them, of course, because they don't like the Reds and they hate us. And whatever, our spring training is important. But
they hate us.
They do. They hate us. So, but everything that I've seen, man, he's had great at-bats. He's talked the talk. He's walked the walk. I mean, I brought it up earlier. Tim talking about wanting to face left-handers and really working on that. In spring training, and you know, knowing that he's going to be in right field and in the outfield there, I think that he's a guy that we'll look up and he'll have 25 home runs and 90 RBIs. We'll be like, gosh dang, like we knew it was possible, but
yeah,
geez, like, he's really came on. So, but yeah, I think Will Benson.
I love it. I love that pick. I am so high on Will Benson. Just another guy you want to root for. He's just such a likable dude and working his tail off. I love that they're giving him chances against lefties. I've been banging that drum all offseason. I mean, you got to find out one way or the other. No shame.
Yep.
If you can't do it, all right, then you're just one of the best left-handed platoon batters in the entire game.
In the game, right.
You know, we can deal with that if we have to. But if he can be above average, he also has something, an ability that's really important that we don't talk about a ton, is that he's athletic enough to play a little center field.
Yep.
And especially with Barrero gone, the Reds can get real thin at center if TJ Friedel was to miss any time for some reason. So having Will Benson out there, and he's not going to win a gold glove, but he can hold it down.
Yeah.
And that's super, super important with the versatility and flexibility that this team seems to be prioritizing.
Yep.
So that's a great pick by you. I'm going to go with my guy, Spencer Steer.
Oh, I love Spencer Steer.
You know, nothing earth-shattering here. I think that this category is created for somebody like Spencer Steer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a strong argument that he was the team's best player last year, especially if you count availability, because he was there all season long. You know, he might not put up the flashiest numbers, but you know, he had a 2.9 wins above replacement as a rookie. Once you get that up to about four, that's when you're talking all-star caliber players.
Absolutely.
So he was. And he lost a little bit there because of his defensive metrics. Well, he had to learn three brand new positions on the fly. He showed up at the second base glove and they said, you need to run to Dick's Sporting Goods and get you a bigger mitt.
Let's go get you a bigger glove.
Coach, the game starts in half an hour. Don't care. Figure it out.
Don't matter. Figure it out.
I love how comfortable he looks in the batter's box. I talk about this on the River Red Show all the time. He just seems so poised. So mature and has such a such a developed approach for a second year player. Like, go look at his numbers if anybody wants to go take a look. I wish I had him up in front of me. His hitting numbers with two strikes are elite. Elite stuff. Like, the way he shortens his swing and changes his approach with two strikes. You know, he's going to play in a ton of games for us. He's going to play a ton of positions, mostly left field, but he'll still move around. Mm-hmm. They could put him anywhere in the lineup, any spot, 1 through 9, and you're not going to be mad about the production you get. No. And I think that versatility is going to be the story of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I love Spencer Steer. He to me is him and McClain are professional hitters. Like,
yes,
professional at bats. They come in, they have a plan. They come in, they know how to work counts. They know how to work zones. But yeah, Spencer Steer is up there as one of my favorite guys on this roster. Just like you said, dude, his flexibility, his versatility, being able to hit, you know, 1 through 8 in the lineup. I mean, you put him anywhere, he's going to rake. Doesn't matter. And it's, once again, it's like, who do you run from in the Reds lineup? Like, you know what I mean? Who do you run from? You really can't pitch around anybody. And he's a part of that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it is the reason that I am so excited about this season. There's a lot to be a little bit sad about if you want to. Losing Joey Votto, this Nuevi Marte news is definitely going to, you know, have an impact on the season. But that doesn't take away from how much fun it's going to be to watch these guys who are still wearing the uniform that we love so much.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a pretty good place to wrap it up. Ben, do you have any parting words of wisdom for the folks out there?
No, man, I'm just excited. If you're watching us and not the Oscars, we love you. We appreciate you. You know what I mean? It's been fun, man. I wish they put more Red Spring training games on TV. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, it's been good, man. It's been fun to watch this team grow and kind of go through their paces and be ready for March 28th, man.
Absolutely. Baseball is back. It is hot in the streets. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. Ben, thank you for making my first late night Reds hosting experience a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Nate, you're the man, brother.
I can't wait to come back and do this with you again soon. But don't worry, guys. Tim's back next week. You can actually tune in. All right. Thanks again to everybody. Thanks to the patreon.com/riverfrontcincy Patreon family who helped keep this ship afloat. We love all y'all and could not appreciate you more. And most importantly, go Reds.
Go Reds.